Push your way back for second service. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing that song, He Knows My Name. I have a Maker, and He formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was Spirit rain down, amen. And the Holy Spirit rain down, rain down. Thank you. trust all ate well spiritually and naturally so far today. Amen. Amen. We don't have any announcements or anything. That's what I was going to say. We don't have any announcements. I just do want to let people know that they are closing the street down at 5, so that's why we moved the service up. So you could try and push. I don't know how late service is going to go, but if we get close to 5, just try and push yourselves out before they shut the streets down. Amen? Amen. Let's just bow our heads in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just humbly come before your throne this afternoon, Father God. Just thanking you, Father God, for just what was said this morning, Father God. Let it just sink deep into our hearts, Father, our souls, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus, this afternoon, Father God, as our brother Ben is preparing his way to come up again, Father, we just ask that you just move him out of the way, Father God. Just speak through him this evening, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, everybody here, Father God, help us, Father God, to just move ourselves out of the way, Father God. Lord Jesus, to receive that word, Father God, this afternoon, Lord. God, we just love you, God. We want to worship you, Father God, in spirit and truth, Father God. Help us to give you, Father God, everything over to you, Lord Jesus. All of our praise and everything that we can bring to you, Father God, Lord. We just thank you, God. We just ask that you just bless the tithes and the offerings, Father God, to further your kingdom, Lord Jesus, and just be with these musicians, Father God. Lord Jesus, everybody who's a part of this service, Father God, just move us out of the way, Lord. We just love you and praise your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. We got a little song request for Higher, Higher. Amen. Song, Higher, Higher. And Higher, Higher. That song, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen.
And I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Thank you.
Amen. As our brother Ben prepares himself, let's sing that song, Victory is Mine. Amen. Amen.
And victory. Victory. Oh, victory is mine. Victory, victory, victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind. Victory today, yes, it's mine.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And I'm sure we all can say amen to that tonight, can't we? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you real good. I'd like to just say what an honor it is once again to be back here with you in the little church. And I sure appreciate the fellowship this afternoon. Appreciate the brothers and each one. We sure appreciate Brother Cam. And you all be sure to tell your pastor how much we missed him and loved him and all that sort of thing. And we sure hope we get a chance to come back to be with you very soon. May the Lord just grant it hastily so we could be here quickly with you. Amen. We sure love being here in the house of the Lord with you people and appreciate not just fellowship, but friendship. And I like that. You know, that means a lot to me. So we are going to look at some things tonight quickly in the Scripture, but I'll ask my wife if she'll come and sing tonight if you would. And then we'll get right into the Bible. We're going to try to beat that parade out. Unless y'all, of course, want to stay here till after it's over. I wasn't joking. Amen. So, anyhow, we thank the Lord. And so I'm very grateful to you saints, and thank you for picking the meal up this afternoon. I was teasing a brother. I said, I learned a long time ago when you come to Napoleon, don't even try to pay your bill. Five of them will jump in the way and all that sort of thing. But I want to thank you publicly for your hospitality and for your love and how that you seem to always give to us, and we try to give to you, but it seems like Sam and I always take something back home with us whenever we leave here. So we appreciate you very much, and may the Lord Lord bless you very good. And so we desire your prayers, of course. I guess some of y'all had heard us talking about it this afternoon. The doctor gave me a diagnosis here about somewhere around February or so, and I have been in a battle with diabetes. Now, the first couple months or so, it was winning. You notice I said the first couple months. It was winning. Now I'm on the winning side. So I desire your prayers. So I desire your prayers. I desire that you'd pray for me, that the Lord would help me. Of course, I've had a battle with my weight, I guess, all my life, and I'm already down 4 pounds because I've been back into my routine for the last couple weeks, but the Lord helping me, I've got the medicines and things that I need to get my body in subjection where I can win completely this weight loss battle. Will you pray with me that the Lord help me with it? It's, my mother, when I was growing up, her way of losing weight was don't eat, you know. And that just makes it worse. And then when you announced you were going on a diet, I believe she'd done her best to fill up every cabinet with Twinkies and Ho-Hos just to see if you had willpower. You know, that's the way we done things at the Norod household. And we, old Southern people, everything's butter and salt and this and that. And I guess I was just raised that way, you know, and so it's kind of caught up with me through the years. And I told the doctor, I said, I've actually run from this most of my life. And over the course of 10 years, I've probably lost better than 250 pounds, lose and gain, lose and gain, lose and gain. And I now understand why that it's been such a terrific battle, because part of this, what it does to your body is you can't metabolize into your muscles, so it pulls from your muscle. And if you can't gain muscle, then you can't have the right function in your body. And so that's been part of my battle. And now the doctor tells me that I can gain muscle, so hopefully I won't have be as skinny as I am next time you see me. And I'll have a little muscle weight on me, which will help me in my health and help me preach. And I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but if I want to be at my best for the service of the Lord, I don't want to preach sick, and I'll preach sick if I have to, but I want to be at my very, very best for the Lord Jesus. And I petition your hearts, and I don't talk this way to just everybody, and this is just to you, the little church here, because I got confidence in you, and I got confidence in your prayers that you'll take me before the Lord and ask God to help Brother Ben, because I need it. I need it, and it's a terrific battle. It's one of these diseases that it goes unnoticed for many, many years until people actually have some major accident and they find it just about killed them. And but for me, the Lord allowed me to diagnose it at the right time, at the right moment, and everything is right on time as it needs to be. And so by God's grace and all doing all the things the doctor tells me, remember, the doctors aren't bad. You want to do what the doctor tells you to do. And if they tell you to take a pill, they tell you to take a shot or something like that, if that's the doctor's advice and you don't feel anything from the Lord, you should do what the doctor says, or don't go to him in the first place. Stay away from him if they're not going to tell you. So, but we believe that God heals through medicines, and God heals through science, and God heals through love, and God heals through doctors. And so by God's grace, I'm trying my best to follow the orders that's been given to me. Diet and exercise, and that's the thing. So if I can find the strength after the 1,000, 1,500 miles every weekend, sometimes 2 and 3 and 4 services, back in the chair Monday night teaching 2 hours, back in the nursing home for an hour, back in church Wednesday night, back in prayer meeting Thursday, and the hospital visits, and the counseling, and the telephone, the emails, and the text message, I'll try to find some time to do all that, but I need prayer. Bless you. You gonna sing I'm happy after I've done all that talking? See. On the solid rock.
Through my disappointments, trials and discontentments, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages, rich but not from Satan's wages, standing on the solid rock. Pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. Close is our relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing,
yes, I'm standing on the rock of ages.
Safe.
Oh, yes, I'm safe from all the storm that rages. Reach, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock.
I'm rich, but
not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. Jesus is the solid rock. Sing that new verse now. This is a good one. Listen to this third verse right here.
Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now.
I love this right here.
With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. With his word to guide me,
From temptations hide me.
Yes, sir.
I'm standing on the solid rock.
How many's on it tonight?
Rock.
Well, standing, yes, I'm standing on the rock of ages. Oh, yes, I'm safe from all the storm that rages. Reach, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages. Oh, yes, I'm saved
from all the
storm that rages. Reach, but not from Satan's wages. Standing on the solid rock. Jesus is the solid rock. The rock. Praise the Lord. Good singing. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together tonight in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to speak to you tonight on the importance of a prophet. The importance of a prophet. How many knows we need them? Amen. Well, just like baptism this morning, if you don't know, you will after tonight. Amen. How many learned new things this morning?
Amen.
That's good. It's certainly good to be ever learning, but able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Didn't say ever learning, and that was bad. It said they were ever learning and never came to the knowledge. It's all right to be learning as long as you come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. Let's start tonight in a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6, the importance of a prophet of God. Keep your Bibles real handy with you tonight because I'm going to go from Scripture to Scripture to Scripture. And you brothers back on the projector, get ready. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, let's dissect these verses, but first let's pray and then we'll get into the deeper things of that. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the solid rock of revelation. We appreciate your love to us, God. I think back upon my young life. In all the years that I could have served the devil, you've let me serve you. I appreciate, Lord, every opportunity for life that you've given me. Every morning that I wake and every night that I go to sleep, I do so by the sovereign grace of Almighty God. And as I stand here today, Lord, I'm ever so helpless from being able to bring to them any divine truth from this thy Bible. I don't have that ability. I didn't write this book. I don't even know how to put it together except thy spirit would come and help me. I believe tonight that we are children that are hungry, children that are receptive and ready to hear from the oracles and the unction and the depth of the heart of God. So as we pull upon your word tonight, we pray that you would feed us, Lord. Feed us of the divine things that we need to get ourselves ready for your coming. For the rapture of the church. May the Spirit of the Lord take His word tonight and anoint me and anoint them that they might receive from that word. May you bless us in such a manner that, God, it will be such a depth and a richness of Thy presence and Thy blessing that we'll be able to leave here saying our hearts have burned within us. We pray tonight that you would bind any evil opposition, any evil spirit. Lord, with the parade gathering outside, we may find this to be a strange remark, but with the gathering of people comes gatherings of spirits, and their influence concentrated will bring an anointing close to us. As I was coming in 5 or 6 minutes out from the city, I could feel the presence of your saints already at the church. And if I could sense them by way of your spirit and by connection of knowing they're here and could reach out into your anointing and into those realms and feel the people here. Lord, no doubt the anointing that will come from those people gathered, many of them may be ignorant and blind of the things of God, but we pray that you would put a supernatural barrier between us and them. Any evil spirit that might cause an opposition or a hindrance, may you bind it tonight as we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let us be free and open that we might receive from thy divine hand as we commit the service to you, ourselves and all that will be accomplished now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. And all the saints said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You almost started to sit down before you said amen. That's not a habit I'm going to let you keep. I tell my girls at home, I say amen when we're done praying. Amen. I want to take this. Now, mind you, I just got through using this subject several places, at a camp meeting in Pennsylvania and back home. And I was actually kind of amazed when the Lord sent me this direction that it was what it was. I didn't expect it to have the anointing and the meaning and so forth behind it. I began studying this thought as a kind of a direction for our church, and I thought, well, it would be nice to be able to find something that would help the people understand why we believe this message the way we believe it. And as I began to look into this, there was a depth that was opened up to me that at first I didn't understand it, but after preaching it the first time, and for some of you that's never preached, this may be hard to understand, but after preaching it the first time, I understood what the Lord was trying to show me. Sometimes when you're studying, you'll have this certain set of scriptures and quotes and so forth lined up, maybe history and different meanings of words, and the Lord will tell you to go this way and that way, and you'll put it together on paper, but you don't really know God's secret about it until you preach it. And so after preaching this particular thought a couple times now, I think this is the third or fourth time and I've tried to bring this, the different places the Lord's let me preach it, and I have marveled that not, and of course I was in a place in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, and I preached this to a group of people that were practically brand new in the things of the message, and the brother told me afterwards, he said, when you got done speaking that, he said, the Lord used that message to answer every single question that my people had about Brother Branham's ministry and prophets for that matter. And what I began to find is I began to preach this a few different places that it wasn't just people that are new to the message and didn't understand it, but I found out message people really don't understand it. And I thought, you know, it would be good. I told the Lord, as I told him in Pennsylvania the other night, that if God would help me, I told the Lord, I would like to take this and explain to the people of God what a prophet is and why we need them in the first place. Because the understanding is that the message, you know, to some people, to a lot of people actually, is like power windows. It's optional. You can take it or you can leave it. But may I say this to you? If this Bible that you're going to read from tonight, and keep it close to you because I'm going to go to many scriptures tonight to show you scripturally what a prophet of God is. If this Bible spoke of Brother Branham being Malachi 4, if it spoke of the day that we're living, the time period in which we're living, then it is not up to you or I to judge or to dissect what we want from this message. It's up for us to amen what God has sent. Now, hold your Bible there in Malachi chapter 4, and if you'll put the screen up there, brother, let him see the scripture again. I want to take this verse 5 and verse 6, and I'm going to move kind of slow here in the beginning, and then I want to pick up some speed, but just try to follow my thoughts. If I get too fast for you, they've got it recorded, and don't just freak out. No, Lord, what am I going to do? I missed it. Just hold the tape there and make sure you go back and study it later if I go too fast. I'm notorious for that anyhow, but I'll try to take this in tandem and try to take it slow so you can understand it. Because this scripture is going to show us a lot about where we're living. Now, we realize, of course, first that God's going to use the spirit of Elijah 5 times. In Elijah the man himself, in Elisha who asked for a double portion of his spirit, and then in John the Baptist, which Luke 1 speaks of, in the spirit and power of Elias. Now, Jesus is the one, of course, that identified
that John was under the anointing of Elias. Now, this is not something that us message people just pulled out of thin air and said, hey, we'll call Brother Branham Elijah. But this is actually an anointing that God chose to send to the earth and send a prophet in the manner of Elijah that he might turn the hearts of the people to the word. Now, when we look at this, we see the first few words here. Behold, I will send you. Now, when you're sending a package or a letter of some sort to somebody, you have a purpose in mind. The material, the card, the address, maybe the type of sticker you'll use for your stamp or whatever you might put on it, the way you'll write their name. It'll all have a divine purpose if you're talking about God when you're sending something out. If I'm sending a love letter to my wife, it'll have hearts on it and kisses and all that kind of stuff. If I'm sending it to Brother Dave, you know, it'll have maybe pictures of a Bible or some kind of something like that, and it'll be a card of encouragement, you know, keep pressing the battle or something like that. My purpose and my thinking is behind what I'll send. Now, we see that God here is sending the spirit of Elijah. And this Elijah, if you'll notice, I will send you. Now, in spite of who will receive it and who will not receive it, that is up to you as an individual. But if God wants to send you anything, what if the Lord wants to come down this building and step out from behind this curtain in a corporal body, take this microphone and said, I'm giving every person in here $1 million. I mean, every one of us would probably say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So you have that. Of course, we're going to stick it in our envelopes and make sure we budget it and make sure it's right. But when we get it, we're going to be thankful to the Lord. And then we recognize that when all of them things come together, God's gift to us was the blessing of His own free will. Not because we demanded it, not because we asked for it, but because God knew we needed it. Now, when God sends anything to the earth, whether it's a preacher, whether it's gifts, whether it's the anointing, or whatever it might be, God does that in a certain manner to be able to reflect His thoughts for that age. Just as I would think a certain thing to my wife, it'd be different than it would Brother Dave or Brother Bart or Brother Simon or any of you brothers that are here tonight, or sisters for that matter. If I was to say, well, some of you sisters had a baby, and my wife and I put a card together, congratulations on the new baby. Now, if I'm trying to greet and encourage Brother Dave, I'm not going to send him a card, you know, congratulating on his pregnancy. Nor am I going to congratulate him about, you know, whatever it might be. And say in the remark, now, sister, God bless you. He's a brother. He's a brother. So my thoughts and what I send will reflect the ones I'm sending it to. Oh, glory. So when you look at the reflection of how God sends this, now for whatever reason that God desired to send us Elijah, that's not up to you, that's not up to me, that's up to God. And God did not say, I will send you Moses the prophet, I'll send you Jeremiah the prophet. But God wanted to send us the spirit of Elijah. So there must have been something in the anointing and the mannerism and the method of Elijah that God felt fit the age in which He would send the spirit of Elijah to. Now, notice this very carefully. Behold, I will send you. Now, look at these next words. Elijah the evangelist. No, no, no. Elijah the pastor. No. I still got it wrong somehow, Brother Steve. You tell me what it says. Prophet. Now, I don't care what bishop or what message preacher says any different. God made him a prophet. I didn't make him a prophet. You didn't make him a prophet. God made him a prophet. It's up to the Lord then to vindicate His office. Well, hallelujah. Now, if you'll notice the designation of this, God sends Elijah the prophet. His ministry, His office is prophetic. Now, you notice his ministry comes in verse 6 in two phases. He shall turn the heart of the father. Now, we don't have to go through so much. I went through this several months ago with you, and I'm sure Brother Cam goes through this with you as well. You're pretty familiar. But just to touch on it just a minute, here we have John the Baptist taking the first part, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and then this second part, the heart of the children back to their fathers. Now, when you look in Luke, you find out that Jesus specifies that this Elias that came by John would do exactly half of verse 6. Now, Jesus did not make a mistake. He didn't develop Alzheimer's and didn't come to the spot and say, I'm just getting so forgetful. What did the Bible say again? I quoted half of it, but I meant, no, that's the way you and I do, trying to repeat something. But remember, Jesus stopped exactly in the very spot in which the prophecy would terminate. So when the prophecy came to the time that Elijah would come in the form of John the Baptist, and John the Baptist would take the hearts of the fathers and turn them to the children. And Jesus quoting Malachi 4. Now you think of this, Jesus is quoting the very same scripture that you and I read tonight. And he's quoting it exactly according to the prophetic clock that God has set out there, the cycle of prophetic in which Jesus is speaking. Now you say, well, there was a mistake there. He just didn't quote the rest of the verse. No, he didn't. When it comes to Isaiah chapter 61 and 2, he does the exact same thing. He takes the scroll from the hand of the priest. He goes halfway up. He stops right in the middle of the verse that pertained to his second coming and only spoke of his first coming. Now you realize that the word of God is perfect. Remember, Jesus said not one jot nor one tittle will ever fail. So it wasn't that Jesus developed Alzheimer's. It wasn't that he had a lapse of memory. He was preaching and quoting and prophesying exactly what was pertaining to the hour in which he was living in. If Jesus would have felt that the other part of Elijah would have been fulfilled, then Jesus would have quoted that. I don't care what a bunch of these people say. They can throw it off on the Jews and throw it off on this and that. But Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 17, he said that truly Elias will first come and he will restore or turn back the hearts and restore the original faith. And so Elijah's standing there on the earth as John, but yet he's coming. He's come and he's coming. Well, it only makes sense. That's exactly what was happening with Jesus himself. The first forerunner had come just like Jesus had come, and the first forerunner was coming just like Jesus is coming. The cycle, they were right together. They were walking right in the same line of that same prophetic. Oh, glory to God. Boy, I wish I had 3 hours right there on that one verse. I tell you, children, that's powerful to me. Now, let's look now at why we need a prophet first. And let's look at the importance of prophets and what they are. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Now notice, not the evangelist, not the priest, not the pastor, not the whoever it might have been, but to the prophets. So God is designating he will do nothing. Now what is this word nothing? It means absolutely nothing. You know what nothing means? Nothing means nothing. God can't move. God can't speak. God can't do one thing except he comes through the channel of prophetic. Now remember, there is a difference between the spirit of prophecy and prophecy in itself and a prophet. And the difference is the spirit of prophecy could fall on me and you tonight and prophesy in the name of the Lord and it never fall on us again. But these men are born under the prophetic. They are born to be prophets. Their conscience, their outside conscience here, and their subconscious, the part that breathes and sleeps and walks without thinking, that part lays so together that it's just as natural for a prophet to see a vision as it is for you to take a drink of water. So they can look up there and see visions and dreams and what more, Brother Simon, and this is how God will deal with these men. Now notice, these men are so important to God that he will only reveal his secret. There's the key. It will not come by schooling. It will not come by learning. It will not come by education, but it will come by revelation. Hallelujah. And if that prophet gets it by revelation, then everybody under that prophet's got to get it the same exact way. It won't come by schooling, huh? It won't come by learning. Come on, preach with me. It won't come by any other way except by revelation. Hallelujah. If the prophet's got it that way, then you and I have to get it the same exact way. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forevermore and praise his holy name. Oh. Now notice in Genesis chapter 20, verse 7 now. Now if you'll notice the way that the scripture records, this is the great prophet Abraham. He's got caught in a lie. You say, Brother Ben, prophets don't lie. You need to read your Bible closer. Now even though these men are prophetic, and by birth they were made prophets, there is a human element that remains in spite of their gift. Well, y'all need to say amen to that, because that's exactly the same thing with you. In spite, how many believes you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Huh? The gift of the Holy Ghost. So in spite of your gift, the human element still remains. Huh? That's the part we really don't like, isn't it? Well, you know what I come to find out? That's exactly what a lot of message people don't like about prophets either. They want to make them gods, make them this, make them that. Come on now. Come on now.
They want to make them infallible. Every word they say, thus saith the Lord, hogwash. A prophet isn't speaking in the name of the Lord, and everything that he says is in the name of the Lord. I'll prove that to you in a moment. Now notice, but he is God's man, and God cannot bypass this man. God cannot bypass William Branham, and God cannot bypass Paul, and God could not bypass Luther, and God could not bypass any of God's men he can't bypass. And guess what? If you're a part of this body of Christ, he can't bypass you either. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a great general. No, really. For he has got the biggest bank account in the country, and he'll put you out of business. This is not the reason why God's all that interested in this, is it? Why is God interested in this man? For he is a prophet. What in the world does this have to do with anything? Because this is God's choice. This is what God sent, like it or not. Well, I didn't think y'all would say amen too loud on that, but it's the truth anyhow. Now, notice this. Therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Could you imagine this king looking at God? What do you mean? What do you mean, pray for me? He's the one that got me in this mess in the first place. You want him to pray for me, and he's the one that lied. Praise the Lord. But in spite of the man's humanity, God couldn't bypass him because that was God's prophet of the day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now notice, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. You imagine this poor man sitting here listening to this. And if thou restore her not, thou shalt surely die, and all that are thine. I imagine he probably scratched his head thinking, what in the world is this guy so important? What does he mean anything for? Like a lot of people do today. When they feel like a lot of people, they feel like they can bypass Brother Branham. But if God can't bypass Brother Branham, neither can you. Praise the Lord. Whenever that prophet preached, you've got to stay with that word, brother, sister. You say, take it back to the Bible. Be careful with that. If you are taking that scripture, or you're taking that prophet back to this Bible so you can find error, you are the one that's in the wrong spirit in the first place. Yeah. Right. Because if Brother Bram is a prophet of God, you don't bring him back to this Bible to find error. You bring him back to the Bible to find deeper truth of what he preached. I'll be honest with you. If you have to take his Bible and prove everything Brother Bam said, I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you. You don't believe Brother Bam's really a prophet yet. You have no confidence in his ministry as being Elijah. Come on now. Because if you got confidence this is God's man, are you going to question him? If you got confidence that Brother Cam Smith is your pastor, are you going to sit there and question every move he makes? Huh? Are you going to kind of, I don't know about that. You know, he says he's a pastor, but he looks like an evangelist to me the way he preaches. I'll tell you, boy, that guy, he can teach that word. Oh, don't you understand? If you've got confidence in what he said, you ain't going to sit there and nitpick. You're going to say, preach to me, man of God. Tell me the truth. Right. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see? Uh-oh. Lord, have mercy. Y'all reckon you can handle this? I don't know. Y'all getting quiet on me already, huh? I have made thee a God. You say prophets are not gods. According to this, they are in some manner. You say, Brother Ben, you just got through saying we don't worship Brother Branham. Correctly. You just said a prophet isn't infallible. Correctly. But if that prophet is standing in the stead of God, speaking in the name of the Lord, that prophet is God with skin on it to you. Lord, have mercy. I'm going to end up having an amen myself tonight, ain't it, Lord? That's all right. You preach all amen, okay? Lord Jesus, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron, thy brother, shall be thy prophet. So God can't change his program for nobody. Nobody. God has a way, and God has a program, and God don't change that for you or me or nobody else, brother, sister. Lord have mercy, children. Y'all said you wanted to learn the Bible. We're learning it. We're learning it. Now remember, now who was it that made Moses a god? Who was it? God. Well, I imagine if you're the man who's got the title, you make a man anything you want to make him. Huh? If you're God, you're the great creator, you could make him Minnie Mouse if you want to make him that way. Praise the Lord. Whatever God desires, that's what God wants. God said, I made you a god. Go right down there to Pharaoh and tell him. Tell him. Well, how am I supposed to tell him, Lord? I can't even talk. He said, I got a program for that. Don't worry about it. Make Aaron your prophet. He couldn't even bypass the program, not even in the way of the hierarchy between Moses and Aaron. God needed a prophet to speak for God. So, oh, Jesus, think of this, friends. Now, notice this. The reason that Moses... But man tells us discernment of the Spirit. He said the reason that Moses was going down there to Egypt and doing what he did in the first place was because he was a prophet already at heart. So when he looked down that mud hole, and Brother Man says, eagle eye of faith would look down there in the mud hole, the people would see certain things about him, a bunch of mud daubers, a bunch of slaves, a bunch of this, a bunch of that. But because Moses was a prophet at heart, when he looked down there in that mud hole, he saw it with prophet eyes, he thought it with prophet thoughts, he felt it with prophet feelings, and it was revealed unto him, that's my promise down there in that mud hole. Oh man, it was ridiculous. When he come off that mountain with Zipporah coming on that mule, packing that child on her hip. What are you doing, Moses? I'm going down there to take over. But the miracle was, he done exactly what God told him he was going to do. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. Excuse this, but if God's going to deal with him that way, and that's that prophet's vision, and that prophet has the understanding, and that prophet's the one that gets the revelation, then God don't require me to get in the middle of that prophet's vision and God to find out what he meant. Praise the Lord. So if that prophet preached the truth and he was God's vindicated man and by vision God dealt with him this way and that way and that way, who cares? Who cares how it's supposed to come to pass? If God's dealing with the man, then let the man do the job God called him to do. That's the trouble in so many of our churches. Pastors try to get things going and they try to work with the people and they get something really going and the choo-choo train gets a choo-choo and they get to moving on, the steam blowing out the whistle, and somebody's always got to lay across the tracks. Somebody's always, you know what I'm saying to you? Somebody's always got somebody, I don't like the way that, I don't like, just let him do his job. Even if the man's wrong, if you stand with him, God will bless you even though he might not bless him. Praise the Lord. Right. Because if he's really a God-called son of God and a God-called man, if he gets in the wrong, God will correct him. Don't worry about that. That's right. God will make it right to him. And so will he to the laity. Praise the Lord. You see so many people say, well, these preachers, I don't like these bunch of preachers. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I know a lot of congregations that are a bunch of hypocrites too. I don't believe in preachers. Well, I don't believe in congregations. How about that? Now, wouldn't that be ridiculous? Who would I preach to in the first place? Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Now, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, didn't say everything he said is in the name of the Lord. It said when he speaks in the name of the Lord. Now, you see, friends, this is one reason why many people in this message cannot take their Bible and lead many a person to simple gospel salvation. They don't know how to do it. Because you know what they've got? Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, Brother Bram said, listen, the world could care less about what you say from this message. If you can't take your Bible and your life can't back up what you're reading, then you must keep your mouth shut until you can learn what God said do. Come on now. One of the biggest reproaches we've had on this message is people's ignorance. Well, y'all get quiet on me. I'm preaching whether you say amen or not.
People's ignorances have destroyed this man. Friend, they get out there amongst people. They don't use any wisdom. They don't stop to think of what the Lord would have them say. They just grab, open up their mouth and cram a bunch of stuff down them. And if they don't see it right out there, you're about to serpent seed. That's your problem. Let God be the judge of who is serpent seed and who ain't. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something, children. You listen to me carefully. If you believe me to be a servant of God and you've got confidence in me, you young people sitting in this room realize you are the leaders of this message in a few years. And you are not set on this earth to make the same mistakes that our forefathers did, drawing lines in the sand. And I don't like that one. I don't like that one. I don't agree with that one. I tell you in the name of the Lord Jesus, if you go the same direction our forefathers did, you'll end up in the same hell they've ended up in. Flee from that nonsense, children. Stay with this message. Stay with this word. And let the Spirit of God anoint your heart to do something that has never been accomplished in this message yet. That's had pure lives before the Spirit of God. Many of our churches, friends, excuse this, they've become nothing more than denominational whorehouses. With a pimp in the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Everybody knows what an ill-famed woman is. Well, an ill-famed woman's got to have a pimp. Praise the Lord. Don't get mad at me. It's the truth. And a lot of these preachers behind this message, they're not preachers. They're pimps. Well, hallelujah. See, it don't matter if you say amen or not. It's the truth anyhow. Right. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, now notice this, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Martin Luther King is going to lead a million Negroes to their slaughter. Brother Branham, Sister Humes, Brother Branham, was that thus saith the Lord? Oh, Sister Humes, I've talked to her myself. I know the story. He wrote that on his hand. He said, I'll deal with that tonight. He cares, do you care? Now, people, I've tried to tell you to watch and be careful what you're listening to. For so much of this is man. Lord have mercy. How much y'all said you believe this kind of preaching? Sure wouldn't know it by the look on some of y'all's faces. You don't know to say, amen, ouch, ooch, run for cover, duck, what? Now think, if the prophet is speaking in the name of the Lord, now listen, not every word that came from his mouth was that way. Could you imagine? What would you take for thus saith the Lord then if the best cooks were in Arkansas? And guess what? The best cooks are in Michigan, and they're in Mississippi, and they're in Louisiana. And which one's the best cook? And I've heard a bunch of these ignoramuses around the message. Well, all of them, that's a cop out of the devil. Because they've got a false doctrine that they're petting around on, trying to make a prophet infallible. Say amen or owe me, it's the truth anyhow. Amen. Now notice in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 22. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Therefore the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these thy prophets. Prophets, plural. And the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. Now notice this pattern. Here's Micah standing here with Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Now remember, in the voice of Micah, there was only the words of the Lord. They said, Micah, you better say exactly what we say, or else you're going to get in trouble, boy. He said, I like this man of God. He said, I only say what the Lord tells me to say. Oh, Jesus. Oh, children, how we need more people like that right there. How we need more spiritual men behind this pulpit that'll only say what God puts in their mouth. Let me tell you something, friends. God didn't put men of God in here to be puppets and deacons and trustees and people in the church and big tie pairs and small tie pairs. Do not hold the Mariette strings of real men of God. I got news for you. A real servant of God don't have Mariette strings at all. He's no puppet. He ain't persuaded or influenced by the people. He says only what God puts in his mouth to say. And then he sits down and shuts up. My granny told me many years ago when I first decided to start preaching. I said, "Granny, the Lord's called me." She said, "If God puts three words in your mouth, say them, shut up, and sit down." I said, "Thank you, man. That's the best advice I ever had." That's right. That's what she told me. Now notice this. Micah is only going to speak by the Lord. Now look at the rest of these 400 puppets. They're all being pulled by the political strings of the day. And every one of these men, Brother Barger, sitting there looking out at that little prophet Micah. One of them walks up and smacks him in the face. "Where was the Spirit of God when it went from me?" And Micah said, "When Los Angeles is under the ocean, your website won't have time to publish it." Praise the Lord. I imagine they would have had a lot of websites up in the days of Micah. www.micahsafalseprophet.com. But you just give him a little bit of time, and that little prophet of God anointed with "Thus saith the Lord," the very moment that he spoke the truth, the Spirit of God backed up what he said. And that was the termination of the prophecy in Kings of Ahab. And guess whose mouth it came from? Elijah. Because you see, no prophet of God will ever contradict another true prophet of God. So either Brother Bam was true or he's false. Huh? If he's false, let's go eat, drink, and be merry. Let's just go to the bar room and get drunk and live it up if Brother Bam's a false prophet. Because I ain't got nothing for any of these systems out here. I've done seen that Tommy rot. And I'm not interested in being pimped out. Woo, you don't like that, but it's the truth anyhow. Come on now, that's the truth. The Bible said she's a whore, and every whore has a pimp. Right. Now notice the Lord. Now notice how when Micah breaks into this thing, it comes to Micah by vision. Now look at how God dealt with this little prophet. Here he's standing here, and there's 400 of them, all speaking in tandem, all speaking together in concert. Go on up, go on up. And here comes little Micah, probably look like a woolly worm. His beard all growed out, maybe his bald head, if he's bald headed, or whatever, shaggy hair, what it might have been, maybe a little leather girdle wrap, probably smelled like a polecat. And this little prophet of God steps back and listens at what they've got to say. Probably didn't even stand right, probably stood duck footed. Probably slumped shoulder, probably had a big hunch in his back, didn't look like nothing at all that big. But all of a sudden, God opened up before him a keyhole in heaven. And a vision opened up before that prophet of God. And he sees a lying spirit come up before the throne of God. If he's a true God sent prophet, he said, "I, the Lord, will make known myself to him in visions and in dreams." And here Micah's looking at that whole event taking place in heaven. And that's why he turns around and has the confidence that he does. It'd be just like me looking out that door. If I, like I said this morning, if I don't know what's behind this veil, I can't tell you, but that prophet was given the ability to go behind that veil. Then 400 men did not have the permission, nor the gift, or the access by God to go back there. But Micah did. And Micah stepped back behind there. He got to looking around in heaven, probably standing over in the corner, as it were, looking around, seeing what's going on. And then he steps back out from behind the curtain and steps up and says, "Go on up. But I see Israel scattered like sheep without a shepherd." They hated him, but what he had to say was, "Thus saith the Lord." Oh, children, God help us. Do you not understand? Brother Bram's message was against every organized religion on the planet. And they hated this man for what he stood for. But he had, "Thus saith the Lord." And this message will take us home in a rapture. It will bring us out in the coming of the Lord Jesus. This message was not sent for us to pick and choose what we want. It was sent to get us ready. Get us ready for the coming of the Lord. You say, "Why are you preaching this way?" Because it's needed.
That's right. Amen.
Not just for this church, but for every church the Lord will let me go to in this next year. This message that I'm preaching to you tonight is needed. You know why? Because there are too many of these preachers that are sneaking off and going to councils with men that ain't nothing but Trinitarians. Do you realize there are pastors in this message that are going to Christian counselors? And they're sitting down with these men trying to learn about their life and their spirit and how their background and this and that. And do you realize the man that they're seeing is a Trinitarian?
Mom.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Saul. When Saul got backslid and couldn't lead the children of Israel anymore, he went and looked up a witch. Amen. Come on, don't get quiet on me. I'm preaching the word. What I'm saying to you is the truth of the word. I feel you kicking. I don't. You kick all you want to. You're going to kick against the Holy Ghost for your last time. A stubborn attitude is not going to get you any farther. And staying right on your little fence and saying, well, I don't know. Maybe Brother Brown is a problem. You either figure it out or you may find yourself behind when the hour arrives. But children, it is too late for us to sit around and play guesswork with this message. Either it was vindicated or it wasn't vindicated. It's either the truth or it's not the truth. It's not up to me, not up to you. Either God sent Elijah or we're all in a mess. Amen, amen, amen. Either God sent the man or we're all in a mess. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 22. Now notice this next view. Touch not mine anointed. And do my prophets no harm. Now, we like to quote that latter part as message people. But the first part's also important. Brother Steve, what I found out is that prophets wasn't the only anointed people in the Old Testament. Aaron was also anointed. So was the sons of Aaron. Any of them prophets that you know of? Aaron was a prophet only when he stood in the stead by Moses. But when he changed and went into the priesthood, he was no longer a prophet. He was a priest. So God don't want you messing with the prophets. He also don't want you messing with his anointed. I know what you're thinking. You thought I meant preachers when I said that, partially. But there's other anointed sitting right here that God don't want nobody fooling with neither. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You say, what am I? God's chosen heritage, the elect of God, predestinated for the foundation of the world, God's hidden treasure, the elect lady. I don't know. What else could I say about you? Notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 11 and 12. The Bible begins by speaking of Jeremiah's ministry by saying Zedekiah was 120 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. So where did Jeremiah talk from? Huh? Where did he talk from? Where did he get his advice from? Lord have mercy. Somehow I didn't think I'd have to pull on y'all so hard tonight. Do you see what it is? A lot of our views of what prophetic is, it goes to prove by your quietness tonight, I'm hitting you right between the eyes of what you thought. Now you can sit there and you can give me that look on your expression, but I already know this is why this needs to be preached right here. Oh Lord, why do you get me in these spots like this? Why can't we go back to that happy part this morning? I'll preach on baptism again. No? Stay with this? Okay. Alright, just help me through it. Don't let him stone me, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Now notice, when is a prophet made a prophet? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Question? Answer. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So when is a prophet made a prophet? When he's born. Now, there's a popular conception in the church world that states that prophets are a thing of the past, only of the Old Testament and not of the New. It states that the law and the prophets, quoting from Jesus, were until John. And that after the New Testament, or after John, there are no prophets left in the New Testament. Well, I just, being the kind of man I am, sweet and soft and walks quietly like I am, I just thought I'd grab that devil by his beard and poke his eyes and smack him in the face and step on his big toe. Huh? Now, is it true that the prophets ended with John? Well, let's just find out what the Bible said. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is where I'm going to kind of move a little bit, so try to stay with me now. Think not that I... You said you're already moving. Okay, maybe for you, but not for me it wasn't. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but, really, really. So Jesus didn't come to do away with prophets, did he? So what did Jesus come to do? He came to fulfill all that those prophets had spoke of him. Everybody hang on. But not everything that was in the Old Testament spoke of Jesus. Some of y'all didn't know that, did you? Some of them parts speak of you. So the law and the prophets pertaining to Jesus were until John. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. I saw light bulbs go blip, 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 blip. Now this lie that they tell is because they don't want to receive the true office of a prophet of God in the end time. That's a trick of the devil. Now in Matthew chapter 7 verse 15, beware of false evangelists. No? Really? Now if Jesus didn't believe there'd be prophets come after him, why is he warning us of false ones? Glory to God. Yeah, I love getting the devil backed up, painted in a corner like this. Now notice the very revelation of it is that these men, false prophets, will come to you in sheep's clothing. Always look for the zipper, I've told you. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. For there shall... Last I checked, shall doesn't mean past tense. That means future tense. So there shall arise false anointed. The anointing is true, but the inward raving wolf ain't. Huh? And, oh my God, come on. You don't mean to tell me that Jesus believed that there would be more prophets come after John. Sure did. Sure did. Matter of fact, Jesus didn't just believe that, but Paul believed the same thing. I'm going to prove to you in a minute, the Lord, that clock quit preaching to me. Now notice this, and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, but it ain't possible. If it was, it's not possible for the elect of God to ever be deceived, because she is that word. Amen. Glory. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Now, notice this. They shall, if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Well, I wonder where that deception is going to come from. Revelation chapter 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Y'all know what frogs are, don't you? You know what I'm talking about? Bloop, bloop, ribbit, ribbit. I got three or four or five of them that live in my pond back behind me, my little tiny pond I bought from Walmart. Huh? Back there, ribbit, ribbit, ribbit. And every time you look at that frog, his eyes are looking backwards. You know why? That spirit's always looking back to mama. That's why they're baptized like they're baptized. Because that's the way mama baptized. Huh? Always looking behind. Well, God used to. That same old devil's alive in the message. Come on. Huh? When Brother Branham was here, well, the Holy Ghost is here. I guess that means nothing. Boy, I'll tell you, Brother Branham was here to discern us. The Holy Spirit's here to discern us. Come on. Now notice this. Oh, my God, Lord Jesus, help me drive this home tonight. Come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. You mean to tell me the whole world is going to be deceived by a false prophet? I thought Jesus didn't believe there'd be any after John. Well, if there ain't going to be any after John, then why is this false one here? Anytime you have a false one, there's a true one somewhere. So if you're going to follow the right prophet or a prophet, you may at least follow the right one. Right? Now notice in Revelation 20 and 10. And the devil, master pimp. And the devil that deceived them were cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So you mean to tell me the whole world is going to be deceived by the devil using a prophet?
Right.
No wonder Satan wants to throw a scarecrow around the right prophet.
Good.
Amen. Oh, I get it now. You see, it's not Brother Branham's teaching so much they have problems with around this world. It's a few things. First of all, it's holiness. If us preachers would quit preaching on holiness, we wouldn't have need of worrying about the tithing count because the tithes would come in left and right.
Right.
What separates many people from serving God in this message is the fact they come to this message and they hear Brother Bam call them dog meat. Praise the Lord. People have such problems with that. But do you know my Bible said that when I came to this world, my righteousness was like a filthy menstrual rag? Huh. So if I'm going to be offended, I guess I should get offended at Isaiah too. Huh? Any of y'all offended by nakedness? I guess Ezekiel's out then, ain't he? What y'all didn't know, he laid on his side, bare as the day he was born, for so many hundreds of years, and ate dung with his food, and then turned over on the other side? Well, praise the Lord. But Brother Bob called me dog meat. Well, God said I was his enemy. God called me an enemy. He called me a child of the devil until I got saved. Come on. Stay with me. You say, that's so rude and so unkind. Sometimes the Word of God is just calling a spade a spade. Unless, of course, you're politically correct and you want everybody to be nice and talk nice and don't offend nobody. Don't hurt nobody's feelings. That garbage ain't never got nobody saved. I believe you should be a gentleman. I believe there's a line there. And you sisters, you just have to excuse men sometimes when they're preaching because your little tender nature, you get some kinds of blushing. I see you get offended. Oh, Lord, I can't believe he said that. But if you trust that servant of God to have the right attitude, the right spirit, he can preach that word without any unladylike or ungentlemanlike way and not make you feel like you're not a lady. He can preach that word and preach it in a way that it makes you hold your position and he can hold his position. And you brothers feel like gentlemen when you leave. You don't feel like you've been absolutely plundered and pillaged and everything else in the world. But when you go to a church that's got a pimp behind the pulpit, you feel abused. Huh? You feel used and abused. Come on, don't get quiet on me. Right. Now, notice this. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. When they'd gone through the Isle of Paphos, Lord have mercy, 425. Whew. Have to hit the fast foot. Fast forward. And when they'd gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Huh. I thought the law and the prophets were only to John. Well, strange, because 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, wow. Evidently, Paul didn't get the memo, Brother Dave. Huh? Set out, Paul didn't get clued in. I guess God done all that teaching and all that stuff, and while he was in Arabia, he learned everything except for there was going to be no more prophets. Didn't this man get the memo? The deal was he didn't believe like a lot of these antichrists believe. He didn't believe like a lot of these false prophets believed. Paul didn't say if it was wrong for a man to be a prophet. He said, if he is, if he thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things I write are the commandments of the Lord. I have no problem with any man in this message wanting to be a prophet as long as he'll follow this guideline right here. Hey, every one of you become prophets. Every one of you brothers become prophets. As long as you follow that guideline, I'll say amen to what you preach. Well, bless God, there's only one prophet. Boy, you are getting ready to get yourself in a mess right now. Acts chapter 11, verse 26 through 28. We could finish this at Burger King if we get to hemmed up in here if you want. Hey, I've taught in many a restaurant and every, you wouldn't believe places I've taught before. Notice this, and when they had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Lord have mercy, they believed in teaching. Whew, man, I wish many message people believed in it. And the disciples were called Christians. You mean they wouldn't call message believers? Christians.
Amen.
First at Antioch, and in these days came prophets. Oh my goodness. I thought there was only one prophet to an age. You've got an Old Testament view of how you look at prophets. You said, Brother Ben, that's strange to me. Well, I'm glad you're wondering because I'm going to explain it tonight by the help of the Lord. First of all, a prophet of the Old Testament, God dealt with him on the national. You'll notice in the Old Testament there are no evangelists. There are no teachers. There are no pastors. There's only one voice to God's age, and that's the only man that God did it for. But when we come to the New Testament, the angel of God, or Jesus, is standing there in his right hand with seven stars in his right hand. Some of you brothers have heard this afternoon. You know where I'm going. So this seven-starred mystery is he, as I told you this morning, he that hears the Spirit speaking to the church. So the mystery of those seven stars are the seven angels. That didn't mean those seven angels would be prophets. And it didn't mean those seven angels would only be prophets. Ah. Was Paul a prophet of God? Really? I thought he said he was an apostle. You agree with that too? The Bible said he pastored a hired house for 3 years. Really? But he was on an evangelistical campaign when him and Silas got thrown in the clinker. Now, wait a minute. He taught us the word. Did not he say, I taught you the word? So he's a teacher too. But I thought angels were only prophets. That's because you don't study your Bible close enough to understand. Remember, children, I'm not talking to you just here, but anybody who'll get this tape back here. Now, remember, your study or your understanding must be of a New Testament view. More gifts in the New Testament. So a man can have more than one gift, but there can't be more than one star to each church age. Luther was God's man. Right? Luther was also a teacher. Luther was also an apostle. Praise the Lord. Wesley pastored a lot of churches, not just one of them. Glory to God. Brother Branham, y'all ready? Before he entered into his prophetic work of revealing the word, the angel of God told him to do the work of an evangelist. Bless God, don't you tell me that man was a prophet. Yes, he was. But he was also an evangelist. He also did the work of a missionary. But you say a man can only have one gift. He can only work one office at a time. He can't conflict his offices by going this way, that way. Could you imagine what it'd be like if your pastoring was all about pastor and he was mostly an evangelist? I don't know how some brothers, I know several. Now, I don't know how in the world they kept their churches together. They evangelized more than they pastored, but yet they pastored. You know what I'm saying? It made it difficult to do one job or the other. Be about like me trying to get a full-time job. How could I travel and have this full-time and travel and study for you people like I do all the time and then have to leave here tonight and go straight 700 miles home to get up for work? Couldn't successfully do it. You'd say, oh, I don't know, you're just not tough enough. Try it. I have. Try it. You'll be a puddle of goo in a year's time. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't say that a man can't have more than one gift. You know why? Because people have the wrong view of what a prophet of God is in the New Testament cycle. Oh my. Notice in verse 28, and there stood up one of them. One of them. So there's more than one. And then the Bible says, and there stood up one of them. Them who? Prophets. Oh, Lord. Agabus, bless his little old heart, I want to shake his hand one day, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Acts chapter 15, verse 32. I'm just going to let you get this one first. Let you read it. That's hard to swallow, y'all. That's hard to swallow if your viewpoint of prophets in the New Testament is that there's only one that God sends the word of the Lord to. If a man think himself spiritual or a prophet, let him acknowledge the things that I write are the commandments of the Lord. So if he is a prophet, Agabus, Judas, or Silas, let those men acknowledge what Paul said was, thus saith the Lord for the age. That's the New Testament order. The seven stars are the he's that hear God's message. And then they communicate that message to all fivefold offices. Then them offices preach it to you folks.
Amen. Right. Lord.
1 Corinthians 12, 28. Let me hurry. God has set some in the church first. This is so hard for some message people to read. First apostles, secondarily. What? No! No! In their mindset, that prophet should be first. But in the way God set the New Testament age, Brother Steve, it was the angel first, and then whatever God said underneath that angel's message. Secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity. Boy, he believed in a whole body move, didn't he? Sure did. 1 Corinthians 12, 29. Are all apostles plural? Are all prophets plural? Lord have mercy. We just keep digging a deeper ditch, Father, we go in this storm. Now, I'm just reading to you from your Bible. This is the roadmap many of them don't even know how to get to heaven in. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now, revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So where did these men get this revelation from? He that hath an ear, he heard the message of the church. And the message of the church was communicated to apostles and prophets, and they preached. And they took the message, and they preached it, and told others what the messenger of God was saying for that day. And that's how the Spirit communicated it. Lord, children, you could see some of your faces tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, 11. And he gave, you say, I know this scripture. Wait. Read this in the tense that it's given. He gave some apostles, plural. Prophets, plural. Then why do some people think Paul and Brother Branham was the only prophets in the New Testament church? Are we leaving out Agabus? Oh, people say he's a minor prophet. You just got a minor understanding. That's your problem. Huh? Now notice, prophets, plural. Evangelists, plural. Pastors, plural. Teachers, plural. And who's the one that gave it? Same one that sent Elijah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Jesus, hold them streets off out there. God, I've got to get some of this, these children. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are God. Because many false prophets are gone out. Brother Bam says, of course, we know a New Testament prophet is a preacher. Well, what else could he be? If a teacher is a preacher, huh? If an apostle is a preacher, a pastor is a preacher, huh? Evangelist is a preacher, why do we think that a prophet somehow isn't a preacher? How is it in our mindset that somehow that God would make all of these men, make all four offices preachers, Brother Freddie, and then come to this prophet over here and say, no, You go back up there in the wilderness and you stay back there till I give you thus saith the Lord, and then you stamp out what thus saith the Lord. In the Old Testament, that's how God did it. But in the New Testament, prophets are subject to a pastor. Ooh, Lord, that stung. Just like the teachers are, just like the evangelists are, just like the apostles are. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Let's stand. Hallelujah. My amen corner right there, she pulled her little heart out tonight. She's about the only one. I don't know what's the matter with some of you sorry people here tonight. Oh, God bless your heart. You know I love you. Now think of this. Do you understand what this is that I'm showing you tonight? This is not, of course, to discredit Brother Branham's ministry. It's not to take away his office of being the angel of God for this church age. But what I'm showing you is a lot of these debates. Brother Branham's son, Brother Joseph. Brother Joseph is a prophet. Brother Joseph is a prophet. So be it. If Brother Joseph or any other Joseph or any other Benjamin or any other John or any other whoever, if they are truly prophets of the Lord in the end time, then they must acknowledge that the things that Paul wrote are the commandments of the Lord. So you see where all these debates are coming from? It's the result of people's understanding. They don't understand what a New Testament prophet was. Brother Branham didn't feel threatened when he was holding his son at the altar and asking God to make him a prophet. He didn't feel threatened by that because Brother Branham knew his position, and he knew that if he was the angel of the church age, that God could have prophets all through the church age and it wouldn't hinder the message he was bringing. This is why many children, friends, when they get into this thing and these children start looking at it, they look at prophet, prophet, prophet. They've got an Old Testament view. And I got one more I'm going to share with you, and then we're going to go home. Brother Branham had the same view himself until Jesus corrected him on it. If you'll take the message standing in the gap and you will look at what Brother Branham said in that message, you will find out that when he got in that great complex and just about gave up, he said, they say, I'm a prophet. So I thought, if I'm a prophet, I'll do like the prophets do. And the angel of God told him, you have an Old Testament view of what prophets are. He said, you have many more gifts than that. So the angel of God called him a prophet, but he also said, you have more gifts than that. He was an evangelist. Praise the Lord. You see, these men that rise up. Now, I just mentioned one that we're all familiar with, which is Brother Joseph Branham. Now, nothing against Brother Joseph. I'm just making the point to you. If you take other men, take men that raise up, and they'll start saying, he's a prophet of the Lord. And if you'll notice, certain ministries that identify him as a prophet, they'll identify him in the avenue of Old Testament. And they'll make him a 21st century prophet or the only prophet that speaks the only truth. All they have to do, friends, is get their Bible and read these very same scriptures that I read to you tonight, that you read together with me, and they'll find out if they've got the right scriptural view of a New Testament church. If God made the man a prophet, so be it. But what he says must line up with the Word, with what Paul said, and Brother Bram said beyond the curtain of time, when those people screamed out, we're resting on that, he said, I preached exactly what Paul preached. And Brother Branham was a true prophet of God. And he acknowledged what Paul said was the commandments of God. Amen. Way back yonder. And any time that prophet of God said anything and they'd ask him questions and they'd say, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham, he'd say, now friends, now you must understand, I don't have any Bible on that. Lord have mercy. You mean Brother Branham wouldn't even answer a question unless he let the people know I don't have scripture? You know why? This was Brother Branham's absolute. Amen. This. And I got news for you. It's mine also. You say, the message is my absolute. Be careful. Because the word absolute means perfect, entire, not wanting nothing, without error, without flaw. When you go to looking at the message, you're going to find Brother Branham said, I was wrong. I corrected. So much of this is man. I used to think. I used to believe. So what do we have? What do we have? We do not have a man that's a liar. We have a man that is a man. Go figure. He's a man. But yet he was a prophet. Come on now. Amen. It's the same thing with you. You're a Christian, but yet you're a woman. You're a man. God placed within you the very precious article of His divine presence in your soul. And yet with all of that inside of you, that gift of the Holy Ghost, yet you're a human being. And yet parts of you, you absolutely hate it. There are parts of Ben Norah that I hate. There are parts of me that is God-given that I love. Let's pray together before the crazies gather. Excuse that. My mama and her language sometimes. She used to say, get inside before the crazies get out, you know. Excuse that. I shouldn't say that. Forgive me. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love your word, Father. So I've been able to take some time this weekend and just, I call it preach, teach. I thank you, Lord, because your scripture teaches us that an evangelist is to reprove and rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Not that you would come and rearrange the doctrine of a church specifically, but you would come in and preach the general doctrine of every believing assembly, making not just a scruple or a confusion, but a generalization of what the people are supposed to believe biblically anyways. Therefore, if it comes in and it upsets the apple cart, as they say, and if it's against the general principles of Bible teaching, then of course the apple cart needs to be upset. Because, Lord, any time we're thinking anything at all when it comes to your word that is incorrect or error, to believe such only leads us to the avenue of more error. If I'm going in the wrong direction, and I make a turn on a street, Lord, that's wrong, and then I make another turn that's even more wrong than that, even more wrong than that, the only way that I can keep from going into more wrong direction is to get the right one. So what we've seen here tonight is you taking your word and illuminating us to understand the right direction of how we're to view these end time ministries. So Lord, when you made Brother Branham a prophet and you made him what he was, it doesn't matter what skeptics or unbelievers might say. You're the one that made him. You're the one that will vindicate everything that he said. And even though there might be things that I wouldn't understand, there's certain things that Brother Branham preaches, Lord, you know my heart. I look at him and I look at him and I look at him. I think, I just don't understand that. But I leave it alone because I have confidence that if he was truly your servant and he was Elijah, then somewhere in this Bible, there'll be an answer for what he preached. Because I have this confidence, Lord, that when Brother Branham sat down to preach anything or teach anything to the people, his resource wasn't Larkin, his resource wasn't Williams or Smith or any other person. His resource was prayer and the Bible. So when he brought to us truth, he went to Scripture first and into prayer while he was there. And then he ventured out to see what other men had to say. It's the same thing with us, Lord. We hear people have opinions and they'll say this and say that and we listen and we learn. But our resource is not some website. Oh God, it's not some website, but it's the resource of the Word. Help us, Lord, today to see it clearly. Give us your strength and your understanding to recognize this. Then God, if I've overstepped my bounds in any way in this church, Lord, I certainly don't mean to overrun or overrule this teaching of this church in any way. Lord, I just felt liberty because Brother Smith has always said to me, just preach what's on your heart. I know what you believe and I know it's right. And just take it to the people. And so I've tried to be honest to that, Lord, and not abuse that. So I pray that you would help. Anything that I've said, let it be to the benefit of the church, not to the hurting of it. And certainly, Lord, I'm open to correction. If I'm wrong anywhere, I want to be corrected by you. And I want your word to be my corrector. And I pray you'd help me. Help me to know what's right. Help me know what's true. We thank you now, Father. Protect us, keep us safe, give us passage out of here, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Now, children, look at me just a moment. I want you to listen to me. These websites of the end time. If you were wanting to know how to get saved, what website would you want to visit to find out how to get saved? None. If you wanted to know how to receive the Holy Ghost, would you look into the internet how to find out? No. If you wanted to know how to make it in the rapture, what website would you choose to go look at it? Well, you know, it's amazing to me that many people will do that They'll say, Brother Ben, I wouldn't look at none of that. I wouldn't look at no website. Nowhere in the world would I look. But isn't it interesting? When they want to know about a scriptural prophet in the end time, instead of coming to the same resource that they would find for salvation or the rapture, they'll go to a website instead of coming to this book right here. You want to know where Brother Bram's ministry is at? Don't look on the websites. Look right here. You want to know what he preached? Don't look at www.goingstraighttohell.com. Huh? All of them going to wind up in the same ditch of hell, every single one of them. Don't look on them things out there. Look to the source that tells us what's supposed to be here today. I'm going to tell you something, friends. God help us. If this message goes on another 10 years, you children here, and I don't mean children as in little children, I'm talking about children of the Lord. You children that are here under God's commands and under these godly men that come here and preach to you and under your servant leader, you remember my words. If you never see me again from this day forward, you remember this with all your heart. You remember that you are the leaders of tomorrow. And if you don't start taking this thing more seriously and recognizing yourself as being a leader for tomorrow, the devil's going to pull one right over on our eyes quicker than what we realize. You better start taking your position more seriously. And you better start looking at yourself as more than just a placeholder for something big coming on. I got news for you. You are the big coming on. You. I know you don't believe that, but if you'll have confidence in what I'm telling you, go home and get your Bible. Sit down and look in that scripture and say, God, help me to start framing together the elements and the components of my life that I can be the kind of leader that you're going to need in a few years. Maybe you don't realize this, but there's a move in this message from one side, one camp in this message. And if you'll notice, Satan has already anointed the leaders of that camp to start looking into a different progressive way than what they've looked at before. And if you'll observe, certain factions in this message are not dealing with the older generation anymore, but they've turned their attention to the younger generation. You know why? Because the devil knows that Satan is getting ready, or that God is getting ready to bring up a crop of young people, young green leaves that are flexible in the wind. You Lima people know exactly what I'm talking about. That flexible something in your soul, God's getting ready to bring it forth, and the devil knows it, and so he's trying to intervene and stop it and fill your heads full of a bunch of your tapes only, and you don't believe in preachers and all this bunch of stuff. Don't you realize what that is? If you'll watch the focus of the great enemies of this message, the ones that are standing against true moves of God, look at every one of their churches. Look at every one of their programs. They're all focusing on the youth. Now, if you're spiritual at all, you know I speak to you in the name of the Lord. Prepare yourself, friends. We don't know what's heading on this way now. We don't know in a little while what's going to be down this road. We don't know what's coming our direction. Do you recognize that we may be the people that they shut these buildings down on, and we have to end up in our homes and preach on our sofas? May not have this after a while, friends. Do you not realize that we are the generation that very possibly may see the closing hours of the Gentile dispensation? I don't mean the going out. I mean the total shutting down. God help us. God bless you. Let's be dismissed. If you have a need, just hold it there before the Lord and ask Him to help you tonight. Let's get on our way because the parade people are coming. They coming, Brother Bart? You hear them? Sir? No. Really? Praise the Lord. Do we have a few? What say? 10 till. All right, what time do we have to go? At 5. Now's a good time. Friends, God bless you very much. I love you. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. God bless you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.